This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ He says, O believers, have taqwa in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And taqwa means that we should be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be aware of Him. And we shouldn't allow ourselves to die except in a state of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I begin my khutbah by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost to send blessings and prayers among our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa an'im wa barik ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin fil awwalin. وصلي وسلم وأنعم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد في الآخرين وصلي وسلم وأنعم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. The lessons and the life of Imam al-Bukhari Rahmatullahi alayhi is a subject of so many books. And in today's khutbah, inshallah ta'ala, I'm going to give you a very quick overview about his life and about one of the most beautiful qualities that Imam al-Bukhari has. So Imam al-Bukhari's name is Abu Abdullah, that's his kunya. Abu Abdullah Muhammad Ibn Ismail Ibn Ibrahim Ibn al-Mughira al-Bukhari. That's his full name. His grandfather, al-Mughira, was one of the people who witnessed the Sahaba and reverted to Islam at that time. Al-Imam al-Bukhari was very passionate about one subject, and which is al-Hadith. And we're going to go in depth with this, inshallah ta'ala. But Imam Bukhari's childhood was very interesting. He lost his eyesight at the age of 3. And then with the tremendous dua that his mother made for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has returned his eyesight back. In the Islamic books, in the Torah, we don't have a lot of information about who his mother was, but we know her through this du'as that she made for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for her child to gain his eyesight back. And subhanAllah, just think about this. At very young age, Allah gave him this huge ibtila. All of the legends, all of the heroes in the human history had to go through these kind of hardships. No one actually made it the easy way. If there are no hardships, no development. So Imam al-Bukhari had to experience this at very young age. And then he had a dream one time that he was one of the people who actually got to change the world. And he woke up from that dream and said, I want to be that one who actually changed the world. He had that passion. How and when and all of these questions, he did not have answers at that time. But he said that he had that dream at very young age. And then he realized that he had a lot of passion to memorize al-hadith, right? So at the age of 6, one time he was in a halaqa. And then his teacher was a scholar of hadith. And he was actually saying one of the hadith with the chain of narration. So he's saying Zubair, an, you know, Sufyan, an Ismail, an Ibrahim. So Imam al-Bukhari at that time, 6 years old kid, raised his hand and told him, by the way, there is something wrong with this chain of narration. Someone has to be missing. And then his teacher looked at him and was like, who this kid that he wanted to show me up in my halaqa? And then he said, go and review your lawh, your notes. And then the sheikh went and checked his lawh and then came back and realized that Imam Bukhari was right. So he told him, you're right, but now tell me, what is actually the chain of narration, the correct one? And then Imam al-Bukhari told him, it is Sufyan an Zubayr an Uday, and you forgot Uday, and then an Ibrahim. And then the teacher looked at Imam al-Bukhari and told him, سَيَكُونُ لَكَ شَأْنٌ عَظِيمٌ. You have a great future, bright future ahead of you. And then at the age of 16, he actually decided to travel to Mecca to study hadith. That was his passion. I want to actually study the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had that passion. So he went and he started his journey there. Fast forward a little bit, the age of 22, he actually decided to go to get the blessing of meeting Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiallahu anhu in Baghdad. So he got to travel like about 1,000 miles to go from Mecca to Baghdad to seek knowledge from Imam ibn Hanbal before his death. Now, Imam al-Bukhari at that time was well knowledgeable about hadith. Towards age of 30, he was a great scholar. Everybody knows who he is. If they actually want to check any of the hadith or the authenticity of a hadith, they got to travel all the way to Baghdad to look for Imam al-Bukhari to ask them questions. And now, there's some jealousy were around, and some people, you know, were questioning, you know, the qualification of Imam al-Bukhari, and there's like, he has so much hype, and we're not sure if this hype is true. So they actually got to quiz him in public one time. So in Masjid al-Kabir fi Baghdad, one of the biggest masajid in Baghdad at that time, they told him, come and we will test you in the hadith. And us as humans, we love drama. So a lot of people came and showed up to the masjid at that time just to watch this kind of public test with Imam al-Bukhari. And then the sheikh started reciting or reading 100 hadiths from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time. And he did something, you know, he wanted to trick Imam al-Bukhari. So he makes a match the sanad with the matn. Sanad, I promise, this is not a mustalah hadith class, but sanad is the narrators. And al-matn is the actual words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, that's a matn. Right? These are the words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who narrated this hadith? These narrators, we call it sanad, right? So the sheikh wanted to trick Imam al-Bukhari, so he mixed and match. So he can say A, B, and C narrated innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. In fact, C, D, and F, who are the ones who narrated that hadith. So for me and you, if we hear innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, we say like, yeah, that makes sense. This is hadith. But for Imam al-Bukhari, because he is a master of this knowledge, it won't make sense to him. Because there is something wrong in the narrators. So every single hadith that the sheikh recited at Imam al-Bukhari, he used to say, I don't know this hadith. I don't know this hadith. I don't know this hadith. Until he completed the 100. And then he was like in a position where people will say that he's ignorant. He doesn't know 100 hadiths. He doesn't, you know, people wouldn't realize why he denied all of these hadiths. So Imam al-Bukhari, because he had this incredible, sharp memory, he got to recite to him all of the 100 hadiths back with the wrong narrators, and then he told him, and these are the right narrators. 100 hadiths. He memorized the wrong ones that he gave him, and he fixed it and gave him the 100 hadiths back with the right narrations. The scholar said this is incredible. Incredible talent that Imam al-Bukhari had. And then, fast forward a little bit. Imam al-Bukhari was someone not just very knowledgeable about this field, the field of hadith. He got this honor to actually preserve our deen, because we drive our religion from Al-Quran wal Hadith. Not just that he was mastering that knowledge, But he had one unique quality. Subhanallah. You know, I was just doing a research about this concept of credibility. And in the University of Nevada, they had a study for about 3 decades. And they asked people very simple questions. They said, what makes a company very sustainable? What makes you buy a product from a specific company? And the second question was, what makes you follow a leader? 2 questions. And they asked these questions to around 7,000 CEOs and managers in the US. And then they asked the same questions to people that they live overseas, Africans, Asians, Latinos, Europeans, people from different social classes, people with different professions, engineers, doctors. They asked every single one from different ethnicity and different background these simple questions. 2 questions. What makes a company successful, sustainable, and makes you buy their products? The second question was what? What makes you follow a leader? And of course, they got a lot of answers. But they say what was very interesting is that on the top of this list was this concept of credibility. They say if a company has the credibility, if the company has this credibility, build that trust, has this good reputation, it makes me go and buy their products. And then they say, for me to follow a leader, he has to have this sense of credibility. If he doesn't have this sense of credibility, nobody will follow. They will see them as fake. These are the words, the summarization of this study. Now, subhanAllah, right before the khutbah, I was talking to one of my friends who was the CEO of a big company here. And I told him, would you hire someone who has all the qualifications? He will get your job done. He's very knowledgeable about this field. He will get all of your needs for that work, for that job to get it done. And he has, you know, incredible skills. Would you hire that if he doesn't have the sense of credibility? He told me, absolutely not. Credibility for him, he said, it's a veto power. If he doesn't have credibility, he's not qualified for that job. Now, let's go back to Imam al-Bukhari. Imam al-Bukhari's credibility, I will say this, and you can quote me on this. What made Sahih al-Bukhari what it is now, even though so many scholars and sheikhs tried to actually write books like Sahih al-Bukhari, and it never got the authenticity of that book. What made Sahih al-Bukhari what it is, not because Imam al-Bukhari was the most knowledgeable man, not because Imam al-Bukhari had the sharpest memory ever, not because of all of this, it is because all of these reasons in addition to his credibility. His credibility. And subhanAllah, I'll give you a story that's a very unique story from his life that actually summarized his concern about his credibility. One time towards the end of his life, so he spoke about his childhood, spoke about a little bit about his teenager life, and then towards 30s, now we arrived almost to his death. One time he was in this journey for a business transaction. He was going for a business trip. And he was in a ship. Now, he was just sitting there, and then a random guy came up to him. And, you know, he started chatting with Imam al-Bukhari. Imam al-Bukhari told him, you know, I'm going, you know, to that place for business purposes. And I have with me 100,000 dinars. You know, 100,000 dinars, it's an equivalent of $250,000. That's a lot of money at that time. So he told him, I have this 100,000 dinars and I'm actually pursuing that business, so we're traveling towards that destination. And this guy who was talking to Imam Bukhari was a man with low character. He was actually a thief. So what he did, he spread the news that he lost 100,000 dinars. Do you know what did he do here? He flipped it around. He said to everybody, I lost 100,000 dinars. Now when actually the captain and the police will look for this 100,000 dinars, they will find it with who? Imam al-Bukhari. So Imam al-Bukhari was in a very hard situation. Now, what's going to happen now? The captain decided to search the ship from the top to the bottom. They wanted to actually see who stole this 100,000 dinars. Imam al-Bukhari at this point did something very unique. He actually put the money on his sleeve and went all the way to the top of the ship and threw the money in the water. That was something unexpected. Why would you put the money in your sleeve like this, going all the way to the top, and then threw $250,000? And then when they searched the ship, they couldn't find anything. So the thief came to Imam al-Bukhari and told him, come on, where did you hide the money? I know you have that money. So Imam Bukhari told him, you know, I threw the money in the water. And he's like, are you fool? You just got to throw all of this money to the water? You could have just defended yourself. And honestly, like he can, Imam Bukhari knows the characteristics of this money. He can easily prove that this money is his. But listen to what Imam al-Bukhari said. He said, I've worked all of my life to make my credibility clean for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be accepted from me. And I'm not willing to compensate this. This is more worth than 100,000 dinars. So I would rather get rid of the 100,000 dinars for my credibility to be very clean, for my reputation to not be tarnished. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are very cautious about our credibility. جزاكم الله خيرا اقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, every one of us has a record. And this record will be determined based on our credibility. And this record affects us in our lifetime and even after our death. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to keep that record very clean so we go to Him as exactly we were born. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us barakah in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with acceptance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna al-qawm al-kafirin. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa aqim as-salam.